Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. I'm feeling very independent and patriotic today, getting ready for the fireworks going into the weekend. But we got a lot of fireworks going on here in the studio today, man. This is going to be a good segment.
Yes, it is.
A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with wealth manager from Peachtree Financial Group, Ms. Faye Sykes. And we're going to talk with Steve and Lee Karp. They are with Endurance House. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my pleasure to introduce the president for the Atlanta chapter and lead strategist mobile for Location-Based Marketing Association. Say that five times fast. LBMA. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Miss Aubriana Alvarez Lopez. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning. Glad to be here.
Well, I got to ask, how did I do on the pronunciation of that name? I probably
fabulous.
Butchered it, didn't I?
No, it's good.
Aubriana, I did that right?
Aubriana is perfect, yep.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So now, LBMA, is that a new association?
It's not super new. We've been around since 2010. Mm-hmm. So we started in Toronto, Canada. The founder of all the association overall is Asif Khan. So obviously you can find out some more about him through the LBMA. But he started in Toronto, Canada, and now we've got over 17 chapters in 10 different countries. So we are worldwide, and we've been in Atlanta since December of 2012. So.
And then, so can you share a little bit about what your mission purpose is?
I can. So really we focus on the intersection of people, places, and media as location-based services. So, you know, we're not just talking about digital, but how kind of people, places, and media interact. And so we want to share best practices, we want to educate our members, and we really want to just promote the industry within. So a lot of exciting things, you know, case studies, collaborative research, and innovation that's going on. And so it's a really exciting place to be with technology moving forward.
Now, can you share some of the, like, who are the players in the industry?
Well, I'll talk about some of our member companies that are here locally in Atlanta. You know, we have Coca-Cola, obviously does a lot with mobile, location-based services, especially when you think about, you know, their smart devices that are, you know, inside of a firehouse subs, and you get to pick what type of, you know, drink you want to mix this and that. Well, actually, all that data is getting fed back. So that's a pretty interesting use case. We've got IHG, which is Intercontinental Hotels Group. Mm-hmm. Weather Channel, which is very location specific, right? We've got Silver Pop, Moe's Southwest Grill here. There's a whole list of them.
So it could
be
a retailer, and it could be a digital marketing agency.
Absolutely. Our member companies kind of run the gamut. So we've got agencies, retailers, brands. We've got some vendors that obviously provide services like the company I work for, my day job, Digital Element. Plenty of those that are there as well. And, you know, they kind of just span.
But this is kind of a new thing where all of these things converge, right?
Yes.
Where you have your phone, now everybody's got a smartphone, and then you go into a retail store. Now they can capture data, they can give you information.
Absolutely. It's all about enhancing the customer experience and that consumer journey. So, you know, retailers and agencies and brands really want to know what's the best way to have that conversation with their consumer. And they want to connect with them at a very real level, not at a creepy level. So,
but that's a fine line.
It is such a fine line. And that's why it's such a fun space to be in, because, you know, you have these businesses that say, oh, this is what we want to do. And you know, kind of as the LBMA representative, sometimes we get to say, no, that's probably not really what you want to do, but let's think of a better way to do that. So,
right.
You know, we've got some great stories of ways that, you know, people have done something really awesome and exciting, and then some stories of things that probably are, you know, things not to do.
Now, I was at a conference, I think it was a mobile conference a few years ago, and you tell me where this is on the creepy stage.
Okay.
Somebody, it was a, I think it was a boat company, and that they knew if somebody had gone into say you're a Joe boat salesman and you have a store, and you're going to somebody else's Mary's boat store, and you go into Mary's, and then it pings you and go, hey, save $300 at Joe's.
So the only way they'll be able to do that is if you, as a consumer, allow two things. One, you have to have opted in
right.
to their services. So you know that they have the ability. If you've opted in, you know, you can be geofenced, which is what they're doing there, where they geofence your, actually they call it geoconquesting.
Right?
So yeah, yeah. So you are actually putting kind of like a 3-mile radius or even a, you know, a 50-foot radius around this store. You know, Walgreens wants to do it to CVS, right?
Right.
And then, you know, if you have that Walgreens app and you walk into CVS, they're going to say, hey, we have, you know, your favorite candy on sale.
Right now. Leave right now.
So, you know, I think that kind of going into that, when you opt in, you get to decide. And then you can also say within your preferences and your settings, what do you want to allow?
So this is real, though.
Absolutely.
Right?
It is real.
And this is fair game.
It is fair game if you opt in. But if you don't opt in, then absolutely not. There are some serious repercussions if you are doing anything like that.
So permission is an important component to all of this.
It is. Privacy is a huge, huge part of, you know, all the location-based services and what's going on right now. And, you know, we've had on some of the LBMA panels, we've had some attorneys that have represented wireless companies and things like that. And obviously the rules change from country to country. And in Europe, you know, they're very strict. Here we're kind of in the middle. And then, you know, in Latin America, it's kind of a free-for-all. They want to spam everybody that walks by. So they're still kind of working that out. But, you know, it's really important to make sure that you are following the rules. And, you know, you want the goal is to connect with your consumer, right? The goal
in
is to make more
way.
Money, to make right. a lasting relationship, build loyalty. So if you're not doing that, then you probably need to rethink.
But it's interesting you say the permission part, because like we travel a lot, we do radio for associations and we do it for trade shows, and some people hire us to do live radio at their events.
Okay.
So we're traveling all over the place.
Right.
And so we have apps for different hotels.
Mm-hmm.
So now what you said, like we give them permission because we want access to the Wi-Fi and whatever when we're there.
Right.
So once we have that, then we've given multiple like competitors permission. So they could ping us while we're doing something, right?
They could. If you have the app that's downloaded, if you have your location services enabled, they can randomly check your GPS coordinates to see where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also go in and change your location-based services preferences
right.
Within your settings per each app. So maybe,
right.
you know, for me, I'll turn mine off on Facebook, for example, because I don't really want Facebook to know everywhere I go.
Right.
You know, they have a lot of data and that's fine. Some people, you know, if you're 15 or 16 and you want everybody to know where you
right.
go.
And every minute, right.
Yeah.
It's already, hit the brakes a minute. This is already on Facebook?
Oh, yes.
So I'm toting my phone around and people know where I am on Facebook?
If
I have my Facebook thingy open?
Not necessarily. People don't know where you are. Facebook knows where you are.
Facebook knows where
But
I
if
am.
You have your location services enabled, then a lot of times if you update your status, it'll tell you where you updated your status from.
Wow.
Right. Mm-hmm. So like if you're in Chicago and you update your status, it'll say right. Stone's in Chicago, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So and then, don't rob his house.
But well, Facebook could then put an ad, if you go check your Facebook there, that's Chicago-oriented, right?
Which is great, because mm-hmm. I don't know Chicago that well, right? I want to know. That's great.
Right. I mean, so that's the great part about
yeah.
it. And that, you know, you want to have relevant content at your fingertips, right? If I go to Google and I search for McDonald's, I don't want to know where every McDonald's is in the nation, right? I want to know where the McDonald's is closest to me because I'm looking for it right now.
Right.
So that's part of location services, but also a digital element. That's what we do on an IP side, which is not a creepy thing because we're only telling you this is a zip code where this person's coming from. We don't know who they are. We don't know what device they're on. We just know they're in the zip code, right? So we can now show you, or our clients can now show you relevant content and information. And that is a very helpful thing. Now, when you're crossing into, like, this person is, you know, this is Lee Cantor.
Right.
And he is here, you know, and here's where you've tracked your, you know, your steps.
And he's loaded. And he's, right.
He's on vacation.
I see how much space he has on his credit card,
right.
you know.
So, what did you say, digital element?
Yes.
No, you said this is your day job?
This is my day job, the one that pays the bills, yes.
All right, so tell us a little bit about what that organization does and your role there.
Sure. So Digital Element's been around for about 15 years. We were founded in 1999, started right here in the Atlanta area. We're actually in Norcross Technology Parkway now. And our co-founder, one of our co-founders, is still currently there, who is my boss, Rob Friedman. And my role within Digital Element is lead strategist for wireless, hyperlocal, and mobile, or as my boss likes to call it, WAM, which is way more fun. So what I do is I focus kind of on everything mobile. You know, what where our product has been traditionally is called IP geolocation. And so we kind of hit on that a second ago. But what that really means is based on a consumer's IP address in real time, you know, we're business to business. So our clients can say this customer is coming from, you know, 30324 in real time, or they can know what city they're coming from so that they can serve them local advertising, you know, make the content relevant to them, things of that nature. So some great use cases for that are, you know, if I go to a hardware store online and I'm in Chicago, Illinois, in the middle of February, then maybe you want to show me rock salt, snow shovels, things of that nature, right? But if I'm coming from Miami, Florida, you know, that maybe you're wanting to show me plants or something that are definitely more applicable to that time and that location. So, and if you're in Atlanta, then you're just out of luck when it comes to this.
But relevance is an important component of this. And contextually, you want to give them the right message at the right time in the right location.
Absolutely. So that's one of kind of my main messages right now from Digital Element. As the lead for mobile is talking about mobile context and why that's so important. I don't feel like necessarily I need to know who everybody is to be able to build a relationship with them, but to be able to have that context of how they're connected, you know, what kind of device are they on the go, you know, a mobile connection where they're 3G, 4G, right? True mobile, I'm on the go. Or are they sitting on a Wi-Fi hotspot, which means they're probably at home or in their office or, you know, at a Starbucks.
Right. So you, by having that information, then you can tailor it even more.
Absolutely. And you don't have to get anything creepy about the person. You know, you just have an idea of the context and the situation that's going on. And then you can make a very easy solution and a very user-friendly solution that consumers can interact with.
Now, when you're talking to the client who hires your firm, is that it seems overwhelming that they're going to have a lot of content that's going to be appropriate in all these different scenarios. Is there a way to automate all of this, or is this something that you got to just create a ton of content?
No, you don't have to create a ton of content. It's really up to our clients how big and robust they want to make it, or, you know, how very simple and streamlined they want to make it. They can make a very simple decision, you know, if they're in Atlanta, show them this ad. If they're not, then show them this standard ad across the nation.
Right.
Or they can make it very complex where it's very tailored to cities. But, you know, what we focus on, we work with a lot of financial institutions and banking institutions as well that really protect us as consumers. So, you know, when you log on to your online banking, you want to make sure that's secure. Now, if I log in and I'm coming from Atlanta, Georgia, but an hour later I log in, you know, from another country or, you know, another continent, let's say that's impossible
that's
travel, right?
That
is a big flag. So we help a lot of banking, you know, banking customers to protect their customers and, you know, people like us that are interacting that way every day. So there's so many different ways to plug it in and use it. So it's exciting.
Well, this strikes me as the kind of thing that you may find yourself working with a lot of clients that this is their first time. This is not something they're accustomed to designing, buying. So there must be, kind of a strong consultative, very relationship-oriented kind of component to the work with your clients, right?
You know, it depends on the client. It really does, because we work with a lot of the who's who of the internet, you know, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter. You know, all of those people are clients of ours, and they really have it under control. They can take the data and plug it in as they want. And then we work with a lot of startups as well that say, we don't really know how to do this, so we can come in and provide that consultation with them and give them kind of a list of best practices and tell them, you know, here's really how it works. And then with my role, what I really enjoy doing is saying, you know, here from a mobile perspective, from your mobile strategy, here's how you can plug it in on this side, and then here's some other products that we're starting to offer that you can, you know, add on where the consumer can opt in. You can get more granular data. You can get more information and provide kind of a seamless user experience as they move from device to device.
So now with the advent of it, seemingly there's a new device every few months, that's good job security for you guys, right? Or is this something that you create one time and it's responsive to every single device anytime they create a new one?
Yes and no. So IP is always going to be there. You know, everything has an IP address, right? But as devices change, it doesn't really it won't change your IP address. Your IP address will change, though, so that's why there's a need for us. It's not like we can just license the data once and it's going to stay the same all the time. We see about 2 to 5% turnover in IP addresses on a monthly basis, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're talking about billions of IP addresses that are out there, you know, you're talking about millions that can change every month. So it's really important to stay up to date and make sure that you have those, you know, updated. So that's why we still have we still have clients that, you know, are paying for our services every month.
But from the client standpoint, if you have a message that you want to put out there and it fits on, you know, like a my Motorola Razr, because it can also fit on my iPhone and fit on my Kindle and fit on my laptop. And
No, and that's where responsive design comes in. And that's not something that we necessarily do, but we do have a partner company that does device type identification. So based on your user agent string, I don't want to get too technical here, but, you know, they can say this is a Samsung, you know, S4 that this person has, and this is what they're coming from. So they can tailor that ad or that content to fit the best way. I mean, nothing's worse than going to a website and having to like pinch and zoom and trying to figure it out, and it's so frustrating.
The worst is not only that, but just trying to, now you want to click on something within that, now you
and your finger's too fat. Hypothetically.
Absolutely. When it's not thumb friendly, that's not a good thing.
And Lee keeps pointing to his phone, but that's not really a phone. I mean, that thing is almost the size of my laptop.
I think they're calling it a phablet now.
A phablet. I call it a phoblet.
So this association, you guys get together on a regular rhythm, have Margarita Mondays or Toga Tuesdays, or what?
We definitely do have Margarita Mondays. we did have an event at the Metro Atlanta Chamber on their rooftop area, which is a great space if you've ever been there. And we had a margarita event. That was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, the last event that we had got canceled due to our Snowmageddon here in Atlanta.
So you do it quarterly?
We try to do quarterly meetings, at least 4 meetings. And then we do a lot of partner events as well. So the next one we're aiming for end of August. So we'll keep you guys updated on that.
Color us there if there's margaritas involved.
There's always drinks involved. That's usually needed, you know, after people have a long day at work.
Right.
You know, we want to talk and have good conversation, but...
So is the membership growing? Is this association thriving?
It is. We've got over 700 members now, member companies. So,
and that's worldwide or here?
That is worldwide.
And here in Atlanta, how many do you have?
Here in Atlanta, I think we've got about 25. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely growing there as well.
So who's your target for who should be a member?
You know, anybody who is really wanting to get into the digital space and they want to connect with a consumer, there's something there for you. We change the different, you know, we change the topics every time we meet. Sometimes it's a panel, sometimes it's a fireside chat. Sometimes it's more of roundtable discussions. So we try to include everybody. We work really closely with the member companies. I try to make sure that the member companies here in Atlanta are able to really voice what's important to them. You know, if we have a sponsor that we're having the event at their location, I want to know, you know, what are you guys working on and how can we make this relevant to not only you, but everybody else? You know, let's get a few people together and talk about, you know, what's really exciting with your business and then other components. So that's, you know.
So you can give them like kind of a 360 view of what.
Absolutely. And then you can kind of, you know, it's great to cultivate that collaboration. And Atlanta's a great city for it. You know, it's growing in technology, growing in mobile. So just to kind of put those collaborative efforts together and put some people together in a room that necessarily wouldn't have met, you know, it's a lot of fun.
I can't believe you didn't take the bait. I thought for sure you would brag, so I'll do it for you. Lee booked a fireside chat in August. Now, to me, that is good sales, to book a fireside chat in Atlanta, Georgia, in the month of August. We're not really going to have a fire there, though, right?
We're just
going to
have a virtual fire.
tell me this guy can't sell, right? No, it sounds like you guys have a lot of neat things going.
We do. We do. It's a lot of fun. I mean, there's always something. I think our next event is coming up in New York. So, you know, if you ever get up to New York or anything, you know, there's a chapter there that's booming for sure. So wherever you are, there's probably some type of LBMA activity going on.
Is that, do you have like kind of a U.S. big conference, or do you have a global big, I mean, you're all over the world.
Yes. So we just did one at South by Southwest in Austin, and it was a one-day kind of trial to see how it went. It was called Retail Loco, so it was very focused on the retailers and then the kind of the technologies, you know, with beacon technology coming out and indoor positioning systems. You know, it's kind of a cool place to talk about those things. And hopefully in October, it looks like we're going to have a two-day event now, another Retail Loco kind of focus there. So we are growing there. And then something that anybody can tune into, regardless of whether there's a chapter around them or not, is that we do weekly podcasts. So they're an hour long. They're pretty in-depth. but, you know, kind of highlighting all the different things that new companies are doing around the world. So it's great for just, you know, a little
best practices,
new ideas, you know, right. Just getting creative.
And that's done out of Canada?
It is. Well, usually Asif is traveling all the time, so he does part of it. And then Rob Woodbridge, who is from Untether.tv, and he does a lot of different podcasts. He is the other part of the podcast. And so he is in Montreal, but it just depends where they are. Asif travels a lot, speaks a lot. He tries to get to Atlanta when we have events. And mm-hmm. So wherever he is, he usually is doing that weekly podcast.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's make sure, Kevin, when we post this segment on the website, let's make sure we include the link to this podcast. Because they can go, the beauty of that is they can go and not just listen to one segment, but they can go back and listen to everything that's been done.
Yes,
right?
There's been, you know, 175 plus
fantastic
now. So there's a lot of content there. And then you can sign up for the LBMA emails and get, you know, updates of what's going on around the world.
Yeah, I think there's only going to be more of this, right? This is just a rapidly growing area.
It is. And hopefully, you know, things kind of slowed down with the past probably 4 or 5 months since our last event got canceled, but we are ready to hit the ground running again. So
now, would you be up for coming back maybe with a sponsor or some of the speakers to talk about this upcoming event?
Absolutely. We'd love that.
That'd make for a great segment. Yeah, we'll be delighted to do that. So okay. We'll put that together. Before we wrap, what's next for you? You got any new projects you're allowed to talk about either at Digital Element?
I do have a new project. Well, I have several new projects at Digital Element. I have about 4.5 different products that we're kind of managing and tweaking right now. But probably the most exciting thing there is a reverse geocoding project. So we've got U.S. data right now, and we're looking to get European data, which basically is, you know, when you hit a website on your mobile phone and asks you if you would like to share your current location, and you can allow or deny. So what that is doing, and, you know, behind the scenes is really saying, here's my lat long based on my GPS coordinates, and then you can take that lat long and we can tell you where somebody is, you know, the nearest address, so you can provide them the closest store or ATM or things like that. So that's an exciting project for us at Digital Element. As far as for me personally, probably the thing that I'm excited about most is something that I've been working on, and my husband has really been pushing me. You know, he's been awesome about it, but it is called Ablo Mobile, so kind of a play on my name, Abriana Lopez, but Ablo, like, hablo español, you know. So, you know, what I've noticed being in the mobile industry and the mobile strategy side of things is that there's a lot of news and reviews out there when it comes to hardware, software updates, some applications, but there's not really a whole lot that sheds light on what consumer experiences are really awesome. You know, what brands are doing it right, what apps are doing it right, who's really connecting, you know, with the consumers. So really the goal of this for me is I want to be able to, you know, share what people are doing, highlight the companies that I think are, you know, spot on and doing a great job. And then, you know, I really just want to inspire people, you know, with some great ideas and get creative and things that they could do, potentially new things. So it'll be a video blog, or as some people are calling it, a vlog.
A vlog.
So short little videos.
And it'll be an app? It'll be available?
Like, it'll be on my website, which is Ablo Mobile, which is AABLOmobile.com.
And you know, if you're watching her, she knows exactly where you are because she's got skills. Which is fantastic. No, I'm kidding, of course. Wow, you are a busy lady.
I try to stay pretty busy. Yeah.
Well, and I learned something here, and I'm going to use it later this afternoon. The next show that we host, Lat Long. That makes me sound smart, right?
Yeah.
It's not enough.
Latitude, longitude.
No, it's perfect. I got it contextually, but I hadn't. So I'm gonna try that out. Well, it has been an absolute delight having you in the studio. And let's have her come back and promote the that session and others. But bring on, like, you know, one of your major sponsors or something, yeah?
Yeah, I'd like to see if we can do, like, kind of just a roundtable exclusively on the association to talk about, because I think it's important, and I think that more and more companies are obviously going to get involved.
We would love that. That would be great.
And, yeah. when you launch your vlog, I want to make sure that you, when she launched her vlog, you ought to come on and maybe do a short segment and say, hey, we're getting ready to do this thing.
Well, the website is up officially now, so just, you know, give me a couple weeks and we'll have some videos up there.
Oh, fantastic.
All right.
Now, the association website one more time.
TheLBMA, TheLBMA.com.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming out to hang with us.
Thank you.
You going to stay with us while we visit with our other guests?
I am.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have with us wealth manager Faye Sykes. She's with Peachtree Financial Group. Welcome to the show, Ms. Faye.
Well, good morning.
So what did you learn in that last segment?
A lot of stuff. Well, you know, she kind of makes me feel like she's maybe like Santa Claus, knowing who's naughty, who's nice, being able to track everybody. So I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, what they can do for both the consumer and the provider. I mean, it's making your lives richer.
It's
fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating.
Truly.
So, but we got to give people an opportunity to build up enough wealth so that they can go spend the money with these providers. Tell us a little bit about your work and what you're out there trying to do for folks.
Well, great. Well, I am a wealth manager with Peachtree Financial Group, and what we really do is integrated financial planning, and think of me as like a personal CFO for your family. So when I sit down with a family or a business, I want to look at your wills, your tax returns, your home and auto, your group benefits, stuff that you've already set up, and we integrate and look at all of that and really put a comprehensive plan on shifting money where people are overpaying in certain areas to reach their other goals, which might be paying off debt, saving for retirement, emergency savings, what have you. But we have a really huge focus on retirement strategy planning.
So do you have to have deep pockets like Lee Cantor, or can just a regular old Joe like me can and should we be working with a wealth manager? Is this more for wealthier people?
It really is for everybody because, you know, unless you want to work till you die, you know, the hope is that we can get it so that people can have the option to retire at some point. You know, some people are definitely like, I don't want to ever stop working. I love what I do. But, you know, my whole thing is about options.
So now, is this something that, is it difficult to ask people to give them all of their personal money information? Because money is a weird topic for a lot of people.
Well, I'm not really, after 10 years of being in the business, I'm not shy about it at all. You know, not at all. But, you know, because of the value that we can bring to families and, you know, there's a lot of different, I just had a young woman who I've worked with for about 8 or 9 years, and we sat down and went through her stuff. So she's a sheriff. You know, isn't, you know, a multi-bazillionaire. But, you know, she had a car loan at 6.5%. You know, I referred her to a bank. They got it down. Her payment went down like $130 a month. She was getting big tax refunds at the end of the year. We shifted, you know, had her talk to a CPA. Well, essentially, in the last 3 weeks, she got a $700 a paycheck. $700 a month shift to the positive.
That's a big raise for a sheriff.
It's a huge raise. Like, she is ecstatic, and now we're, you know, she's got a little debt that we're getting paid off, and then we're going into, once that's done, is to putting that all towards retirement and things like that. Well, that's going to really add up after a while.
Now, it seems that, like, the average person is overwhelmed with all this financial news. At one minute, there's like, we're going to have no money and the economy's crashing. The next minute it's like, look, the stock market's hitting new highs. Like, it just is overwhelming for a lay person, I think, to keep track of all that. Is that really what you come in and kind of quarterback that kind of side of their world?
Absolutely. Well, I do monthly ladies. Oh, I'm a woman specialist, but I do work with men and women, but I host a monthly ladies lunch and learn the third Thursday of every month at my office. And so I do it on different educational topics, like next week, at July the 17th, I'm doing basics of investing. So we're very educational focused, but on an average week, I do 2 to 3 seminars or go into groups and talk about different topics. I am a big Social Security expert in the Atlanta market, which, you know, And I'll be honest, the first couple years I was in the business, I was like, well, let's not even count Social Security. Now that I understand it, I mean, I can tell you amazing stories on how I've been able to help folks. And, I'll give you an example. I had a woman about 3 months ago that was at one of my lunch and learns, and she's a CPA, and she's like, well, I'm really here for my clients. So one of my tips that I had was that if a parent is over the age of 60, you know, what in full retirement, pulling Social Security, and you have children under the age of 18, they can get a benefit. Well, her head whipped, and she's like, what if it's your ex-husband, but your biological child lives with you? Well, I double-checked with Social Security, and I'm like, yes, in fact, you can. So she is going to get $13,000 a year for the next 8.5 years.
Wow.
I basically just paid for her college. And, you know, so anyway, there's a ton of different strategies that people absolutely have no idea about. And, you know, typically for a single person, you know, and it, like, of course it depends on how long you live and all that, but I can potentially get people from a few $100,000 plus, you know, over the course of their retirement just by utilizing good Social Security strategy planning.
Well, kudos to that CPA too, though, and to you for building relationships with other providers out there in the marketplace, because that CPA is invested enough in her client's success to go and get educated or at least cultivate relationships with practitioners like you. That
absolutely.
That must be, it certainly sounds like good mojo, but that must be like a best practice in your world, huh?
I coordinate with a ton of different attorneys in different fields. So, you know, I'm working with probably 6 or 7 women going through divorce right now. So I work with a lot of divorce attorneys, personal injury attorneys, estate and business planning attorneys, CPAs. But, you know, we definitely refer business back and forth, you know, and really want to make sure that the, you know, the planning that somebody is getting is what they really need. I'll give you an example. A few years ago, this was about 3 years ago, I was looking at tax returns. Now, I am not a CPA. I don't play one on TV, but I know enough to go, there's an issue with this. A couple had 29 rental properties. I'm looking at their tax return, no property depreciation. And I'm like, and they at first didn't even want to give me the tax returns to look at, but then they relented and they're like, we have worked with this gentleman for 30 years, Faye. He's fantastic. Well, they got almost $85,000 back because you can only go back 3 years.
Wow.
You know, they would have totally missed out on that if they hadn't had somebody like me review that and make sure
right.
that all the pieces
You were watching their back. I mean, you were protecting them from themselves, really.
Oh, absolutely.
So, are there any other mistakes you see people making over and over again?
You know, one big area that I see is, you know, and not everybody gets pensions anymore, but for folks that do, you know, government, military, certain corporations, I had a woman who, this was really kind of a sad story. Her husband was a veteran, and he had worked on torpedoes. Well, he ended up having breast cancer. 6 months later, she got diagnosed with breast cancer. He did not make it. She did. Now, the way that they had done their planning, they both took Social Security at age 62. And in this case, you know, if you are, depending on your age, it's a 25 to 30% permanent reduction in your benefits if you pull Social Security early. At your full retirement age, every year you delay, it's an 8% increase. So they both took it at age 62. Now, if as long as you're both living, you get the both of the Social Securities, but when the person, one of them dies, you get the higher of the two. He also had a pension, or it was a pension, but he instead of doing it on both of their lives, which would have been a smaller, you know, just a slight reduction in that, he did it only on his life.
Ouch.
So what happened was she was having about $7,000 to $8,000 a month when they were both living, and she went down to $1,700 a month.
Wow.
And, you know,
that's a hard fall right there.
Hard fall. And the mortgage was only in his name. And, you know, she didn't have enough to refinance it. So she lost her house, living on $1,700. This stuff happens all the time because they don't sit down with somebody to make sure that they're making good decisions.
So I got to ask, how did you get into this business? What's your backstory? You always been smart about money?
No.
No.
I went to Syracuse University, and I have a textile design degree. And years ago, I was the head fashion designer for Ben Hogan Golf and had some money, sat down with this advisor at whatever big firm. And what does the adults in Charlie Brown sound like? Wah, wah, wah. He wah-wah'd me. And he was like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I have no idea what you're saying. I'm like, can you break this down in a way that makes sense? And he, quote, said, honey, you should just do what I say.
Oh,
and wow. I got my stuff. I left. And a few years later, I was like, you know, that guy, but that's really probably about 60 to 70% of the people in my industry are the want-wants. They're going to talk above your head. Well, I made a complete, you know, if you go from fashion design to financial planning, that's a huge difference. And, you know, my industry is about 14 to 16% female. But women, you know, we control over 80% of the money that's spent. So I really came in this to help other people. And, you know, most people, and I was actually mad at my parents. I was like, why didn't you guys teach me this? And what I found out was they can't teach you what they don't know. And most people don't have that education. That's why we're our whole firm is very educational focused. Because, you know, it's like, I know I can't help everybody, but if there's somebody comes in and I can save them money, or they can make a smarter choice about Social Security, or, you know, there's a lot of annuities and other kind of products out there that can really be beneficial. And, you know, for us, and I have people when I sit down with them that are like, what product should I have? And we definitely started a 30,000 foot view. Let's do the plan first. The product is really secondary. And so, you know, we really try to retrain people, give them the education and knowledge to make good decisions for themselves and their family.
Well, I'll tell you, I really applaud the focus on a niche. And it seems to me like you've picked a smart niche. And we try to avoid prejudiced generalizations around here, but I have believed for some time now, women are smarter and better with money. Just period, amen. Is there some evidence to suggest that's accurate as a general statement?
There has been studies that said that women tend to be, but a lot of, you know, well, I'm actually starting on embarking on writing a book about women in finance. And, you know, the thing that I have found just talking with a lot of folks over the last 10 years is that guys will actually get together on the golf course at over lunch, and they'll talk about how their Google stock went up, or they'll talk about money. Women,
when it goes up, we talk about it.
That's
what we talk about.
And then we have to lie about it when it goes down.
Then we don't tell them that it's actually in my wife Holly's 401. It's not really my stock.
But they actually talk about women. We talk about our kids. We talk about our trip, our this or that. We just don't focus on that. And so, but when women do get serious about it, the women that I've said, you know, that I sit down with and I help, they're like, what do I need to do to make good decisions and, you know, have the kind of life that I want? And a lot of them are just, you know, and I have women, a lot of women that are even married where the guy just kind of puts his head in sand. He doesn't even want to deal with it. And I'm like, well, we're just going to go ahead and make sure you're okay.
There you go. Yeah, good for you.
And we just kind of keep on cooking.
Well, what can we do to help? What do you need more of? You need more relationships with CPAs and other professional services folks? You're looking to pick up a larger client load, or you got the clients you want? Or?
Well, you know, the kind of the things that I've probably done about 12 Social Security seminars in the last 2 months.
Okay.
So I would love to do speaking engagements for associations, Kiwanis, Rotary, you know, any kind of group where they really want somebody to come in and maybe just give some education and knowledge.
And you can provide some immediate value and
absolutely,
and meet some potential clients that way. So the sales and marketing thing, it's not an easy code to crack for you, right? Because to get me or my wife to talk about money and or migrate the relationship from an existing portfolio manager, that cannot be an easy hill to climb, right?
Well, you know what? I think we really, you know, for the integrated financial planning that we do, you know, other firms that I've worked at, we, you know, people outside of our industry don't really realize that. If you your financial planner works for an investment company, you know, most or a lot of the advice is focused on wealth management, you know, just invest money, you know,
right,
on that end. Well, then I worked for an insurance company for several years, and most of the advice on that side is on insurance. So in 2009 is when I joined Peachtree Financial Group, and I actually interviewed with 26 different companies to finally find the correct or the philosophy that I was looking for on the true integrated financial planning. So when I sit down with somebody, you know, I can really show pretty quickly how different we are.
So once you get to have that conversation, it sounds like you've got a pretty good track record. So having these seminars, these workshops, the book, if you can just kind of get out there and have these initial conversations with more folks, sounds like it'd be a real service to you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It'd be fantastic.
Well, keep up the good work. I mean, this is important. You have to plan for and provide for your future. Where can our listeners go to learn more and have that conversation with you and at least, you know, get more educated on some of these topics?
Well, absolutely. Our corporate website is www.peachtreefg.com. My email is sykes@peachtreefg.com. And my phone number is 404-354-1039. But, you know, if anybody, any women that are interested in signing up just to get on my monthly mailing list for, you know, email list for the Ladies Lunch and Learn, I'd love to add you and hopefully see you at an event.
Well, there's a lot more we can and need to talk about because I know you have some specific counsel to offer people for everything from, you know, what do you do if you've got a spouse that you have to take care of at home? So there's a lot of topics. I'd like to have you come back, Lee, if you're up for this, and maybe with some other people.
Like a CPA and an attorney?
Yeah, I was going to call it like the little, I don't even know what to call it, but your little circle, your righteous circle of, you know, your...
I call it the trifecta.
Your trusted advisors.
Your trusted advisors. But, I mean, I think that could make for an interesting segment, right? Like have one or two of your go-to trusted advisors?
That would be fantastic.
And maybe we'll have some specific topics to talk. So are you up for that?
Absolutely.
All right, fantastic. Hang in there with us. We got one more segment we're going to do, will you? All right. So next up and last up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have with us Steve and Lee Karp. Good morning, Miss Lee. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
So seems like you're getting some value out of the show. I don't know if I saw you taking notes, but I saw you nodding your head a lot and agreeing with all these folks.
I did.
This
is exciting. I feel like I need to have a conversation afterwards with both of these ladies. Very, very informative.
And you got your roommate here with you, Steve,
yep,
right?
Got my husband, Steve.
All right. So this outfit that you guys have is called Endurance House. You're based out of Alpharetta, Georgia. What are you out there doing for folks?
Endurance House is a specialty retailer that specializes in swim, bike, and run product for endurance enthusiasts. So if you're just getting off the couch, walking around, or if you are a marathoner or an Ironman, we have the product and the services and the experience for you.
I don't know why I'm not already on their mailing list.
Really?
Actually, I have an idea or two, but I should be.
We can fix that very quickly for you.
So now you're a retail store?
We are a retail store.
And how many stores you guys got?
Well, Endurance House is actually a franchise, and we are the first here in Georgia. We're number 5 in the total franchise, so it's a new franchise development. They've got 2. It started out in Middleton, Wisconsin, and they have 1 in Colorado, 1 in Oceanside, California, and then we're the 4th or 5th, excuse me. And then we also are market developers here in Atlanta, so we're going to be opening up 2 more stores in the next few years. So very exciting time for us, for sure.
Now, can you talk a little bit about the process of you guys obviously decided, hey, we're going to open a franchise. You could have started your own thing. You could have done lots of things. But together as a husband and wife team, you said, let's try franchising. I'm assuming that you guys have an interest in endurance sports. You're passionate about that. So was it just that? Like, I love triathlon, so I'm going to do this? Or how did you decide?
Yeah, like what were you thinking is right. What we want to know.
No,
you sound like my financial advisor. What were you thinking?
No, really, it's a complicated thing, right? You don't just, this is not an impulse buy.
Very complicated. Both of us had 20 plus year corporate jobs, so we were always looking for something to do on our own. I've had the desire to open my own business.
So what was your corporate job?
My corporate job is still, I manage.
You don't have to say the name of the company. But
some of the, I run major hospital projects. I'm currently running one of the biggest hospital projects here in Atlanta.
So like a construction, a building of it? Or
construction.
Okay,
right.
So you're in the construction, and Lee, what's your background?
I have been in retail for 20 plus years, in specialty retail.
Okay, so then this makes some sense, right? Now that I'm buying into this.
Glad we have your blessing, Lee.
Yeah, no, but we, you know, it was something that I have always kind of been one of those yo-yo kind of exercisers where I'd be great on the gym for a while and then I wouldn't go. And then I'd do, you know, those classes, the step classes right. or whatever. And I actually had found CrossFit. A lot of people have done CrossFit, and it was something that I'd found first off, and it kind of gave me the ability to know that I can do something more.
Right.
You know, gave me the confidence, and the community aspect was really huge
yeah.
for us. And so I don't know what happened. Steve and I, he came to me and said, I want to run a half marathon.
Well, we were doing CrossFit.
Oh, you were doing it together?
We were doing it together. It was a great
nice.
Thing we could do together. So
always been in athletics, and I was literally looking at a magazine one night, saw Endurance House was franchising, and I said, that's the one. We had already been doing triathlons, and I literally that night emailed the founder of the franchise, and he emailed me back the same night.
Because they didn't have a presence here in Georgia or Atlanta.
Nowhere.
No.
So you guys are passionate. You have the retail experience. So then this was good for them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that their values were very similar to ours. So
right.
our first conversation with Jamie Osborne, who's the co-founder of Endurance House, was we were all on the same page about that community experience, the getting people to get products and services that were right for them. I mean,
mm-hmm.
what works for you for a walking shoe may be totally different for somebody for a walking shoe. I mean, everybody runs differently, walks differently, needs different things. And here was a company that was there and they cared about their guests and they wanted to help them redefine their possible. And that was something that really rang true with both Steve and I. So it was almost like this instant connection with them. And because of that, we felt really comfortable on going on board. I mean, to leave a company after 20 years is very, very scary.
Sure.
And but what was awesome was that I've had the opportunity at that company to do everything.
And you've seen the good, the bad, the ugly.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So kind of know where the landmines are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Aubriani, let me bring you in this a little bit. They're a perfect target for this mobile, where this location and mobile and everything intersects, right? Because they have, I'm sure you guys coordinate with events and there's a lot of activity. Social media is probably a big deal in their world.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot that's going on, I think, in the fitness world with mobile and location-based services and just new technologies. It's really cool, some of the stuff. I know my husband started to get into running and he just did the Publix half and now he's looking to do a full marathon. So, you know, he's been getting the heart rate monitor straps and how that, you know, having the app on your phone and staying in that orange
mm-hmm.
zone. And so there's so many different things that you can do. But then just from an Endurance House perspective in general, I mean, certainly you can set up e-commerce. So it's, you know, forwarding those orders based on which store is located closest to that
mm-hmm.
consumer who's online. With only 5 locations, you know, that could certainly drive up sales, having those internet sales to boost, you know, what the foot traffic that's
right.
coming in.
And a way, kind of a hub to build community around the store and the events and all the activity. You can start a running club. Like, there's lots of ways to kind of integrate a whole mobile strategy
mm-hmm.
inside.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And we are brick and mortar, and we really specialize in that, and being able to have someone come in
right.
and be able to experience you talking about your triathlon that you did last week, or you talking about your first 5K, or getting that. You know,
His first K.
Your first walk around the block. We're here for you. But it's important to have that interaction too with us, because we're going to offer that guest
right,
that one-on-one.
And you want that. That was probably a good takeaway from CrossFit, is they do a great job in building community and passion amongst the people that participate. And
right.
if you can translate that into your store, then now your store is not just a place I buy shoes.
No, it's where you go to for your friends,
right.
you know, and we do. We have a Tuesday night run that we just started. We just opened about, tomorrow will be 6 weeks, and we've started a Tuesday night run where everybody comes at 6:30, and we go out, and it's any pace, and no one's left behind, which is a good feeling when you're running and trying to get through your first K. And we also have a bike that happens, a ride that happens on Wednesday nights at 6:30. And it's, again, just a welcoming way. You don't have to be the champion, but hey, we do have people that ride fast. Eddie O'Day is our head bike fitter and director of guest experience, and he's very well known here in the cycling community here in the Southeast. And so, yeah, he can go. And then there's me. I'll be there to help anybody who wants to go slower. but it's great because we can relate to all different types of people. Right. It's not just one. And yes, we are definitely triathletes. I mean, Steve and I have completed Ironman in Florida last November, which is awesome.
I used to play ping pong.
Okay.
That can get very hey,
that starts with rigorous. Movement. That's it's right. movement.
Start somewhere.
Exactly.
His triathlon is ping pong, pool, and foosball. That's, oh. that's what they call
it. It's a multi-sport. That's good.
But I got to tell you, because I don't want to leave this idea, when it, in terms of serving community, their business is a little bit like ours. This personal interaction, eye-to-eye, you know, meet you face-to-face is a very important dynamic for us, for you guys. And there's a great deal that you can do to accentuate and layer tremendous added value when you plug into some of this technology too to really.
And that's really that whole mobile piece and social media is really where we need to go.
Yeah,
and that's what is exciting. And I wasn't kidding when I said, yeah, I need to speak with her after this because because that's the exciting part. And I think also that you always have to change and evolve. You can't stay the same, and we have to look at new ways to get our business out there because people don't know who we are. A lot of people think Endurance House when they were driving by, and we get it every day. Oh, we thought you guys were a gym. No, right. We're where you get that product.
Well, it's a good name for it. For a gym. Okay,
yes, but we are not.
So the premises endurance clothing accessories is different. It really is different. So the stuff is different.
Well, any running apparel you talked about gear as Garmin watches or Timex or different types of. Cycling shoes. We have a full service bike area where you can get your bike repaired. We have wetsuits. We have swimsuits. We have training gear for swimming.
And you want to talk to somebody that knows endurance sports. You don't want to talk to the kid at
not
Walmart.
Not the 16-year-old kid that's now in charge of, you know,
you're trying
biking.
To run up a mountain.
Well, and truly, that was one of the reasons why this triathlon store or this multi-sport store was important to us because I started in triathlon. I don't look like a typical triathlete or marathoner in any way, shape, or form. We went into a store and I didn't even get a hi. I didn't get any help. And that was the only gig in town. And so as I went up to the counter, I was so angry because here I am having to spend all this money on this product because I needed to go in and try it on. I couldn't go in on the internet. And nobody helped me. And we left that store and I said, oh, there's definitely a need of another store here. And so that's why it matched very perfectly for us. It's because I could relate to it. I can relate to that passion to it. And Steve could relate to that. And it just kind of fueled the fire when we decided to start.
And from a business standpoint, the people that are into that, there's some serious dollars you spend. I mean, you could spend $5,000 on a bike, right?
Yeah. It can be intimidating, like Lee said, to walk into some of these stores when you're just looking to get into it. The bikes, people will spend a lot of money
to shave time because they're trying to beat their personal best.
Sure, and it's the
sport. I don't know if you
should
tell Aubriana this. Maybe her husband will start getting into biking.
No, that's definitely on his bucket list. Right.
The more people get into it, you know, everybody needs gear. Shoes wear out. Bikes need service. But the Ironman brand and those races, it's about $700 a head to enter, and they just added Chattanooga, Tennessee this year. That thing sold out.
You don't want to show up with
seconds.
A Schwinn and All-Stars.
No.
It's a little bit specialized. But.
It's a little specialized. But and those are the cool thing is that we do have programs there, too. So if you want to start your first 5K, we're getting up. We're going to do the Thanksgiving. There's a Thanksgiving half and half marathon and 5K on Thanksgiving. So we're going to have a team doing that, as well as we are going to Chattanooga this year to volunteer. We're bringing a team up to that, and people can be a part of our volunteer team as we go up. And then the following day, anybody who volunteers gets first kind of rights to register. So we'll all go at 6 o'clock in the morning and go stand in line like crazy people to register for Ironman Chattanooga 2015. And we'll be bringing a team out there. And it's just, we start training in January. It's about 36 week process that we start training. But here's this community. It's so much easier to exercise and get training done when you have family and friends around you. And so we already have people excited about that, and we're just kind of starting in. So we're excited about
Well, before we wrap and get your Latin long, I told you I would be able to use it.
You used it right away.
I want to dive into this very briefly. We can't. What is it like, husband and wife, running a business? How do you do that, keep sane on that track, and maintain a healthy relationship at home? Any counsel you might offer our listeners out there?
It's way too early to tell at this time. No, it's obviously taken almost 2 years to get to this point to open. Lee and I have been together for 20-something years, so we know each other. Only been married to Lee. I mean, she's only been married to me. It was something that was pretty methodical and thought out, and I just think we had the right combination going in and didn't do it hastily. We really gave it some thought. So
but you're not dabbling.
Working.
You went in for all of Georgia. You didn't just say one store.
Yeah, well, we went in big, and we said, if we're going to do this, if we take one spot near Atlanta, somebody's going to move into Atlanta. So we locked it all up.
Go big or go home.
That's it. Right.
So and we went in Duren's house. But I think for Steve and I, too, we've always been really upfront with each other, and we have the same goal in mind. It would be different if we would not have gone in this if one of us wasn't 50-50. If it was 60-40, we wouldn't have done it. Mm-hmm. Because we had two very lucrative jobs.
Right.
You know, and so for me to leave that was hard. And it was a really tough decision for us because the lifestyle changes big time.
Right,
and so,
now it's a 24/7 job.
Yeah, and it doesn't go away. You don't leave that job. It goes with you every day, every minute, every second. And so what's great is that we do have the ability to say, I need your help, or I'd like you to do this. Can you do this? Or we just are really able to give that give and take. And that communication is key because you just have to have it. But so far, we're successful. The opening of the store was great because, you know, obviously Steve being in construction, he was really able to nail that. So the store looks fantastic. If anybody hasn't had a chance to go down there at Endurance House, I mean, you walk in.
Where is it?
It's 11800 Haynesbridge Road. It's right in Alpharetta, right on the corner of Old Milton Parkway and Haynesbridge. There's a Publix right there. And we're right there next to them. We're the only ones there. Great location. But yeah, everybody needs to come down and see us. Because it's a beautiful store. Steve did an amazing job on it, and looks great.
And when you go there, you can find anything you need for any multi-sport activity?
Anything. If you walk, if you run, we've got fast forward moving shoes for you. If you have running apparel, lifestyle apparel, bike apparel, if you're a cyclist, tri gear, if you're doing multi-sport, we've got compression. We have triathlon bicycles. We have road bikes. We have wetsuits and swimwear. We really have anything swim, bike, run related.
And activities for training and things like that.
And activities for training. And if people follow us on Facebook for Endurance House Atlanta and also our Twitters at eHouseATL, they can get any of all of our updates that we have in regards to the cycling programs and biking or running programs too.
We're actually heading down to the Peachtree Road Race Expo after this. So
we're
down there too, and we're running tomorrow.
Busy, busy, busy.
Yep. So everybody can come see us and get some EH swag.
All right. So now the website is?
EnduranceHouseAtlanta.com.
And the best place to find you, though, is Facebook?
Facebook is great, Endurance House Atlanta. Or like I said, we now are on Twitter at eHouseATL.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of this
today.
Thank
you very, very much. I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
That was fun.
All right, this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.